This coming week, on Shabbos, there is no Pirkei Avos, and there's also no Parshas HaShavua because of Chag HaShavuos. So the shir, today's shir is taken from Rabbi Schlesinger's shir this past Thursday night, which spoke about preparing for Chag HaShavuos, and also it's taken from his Pirkei Avos shir of last Shabbos, which discussed the sixth perek of Pirkei Avos, which is called Perek Kinyan Torah. And we always read Perek Kinyan Torah the Shabbos before Shavuos. The really Pirkei Avos, the Mishnayos, is five prakim, and they are all leading up to the sixth Shabbos, which is really not from the Mishnayos, it's from the Brisa, which was not really incorporated as being part of the Mishnayos. But Rabbi Schlesinger pointed out that he brought from different svarim that the other five prakim of Pirkei Avos speak about Torah to some extent, but they speak about other things as well. However, the final perek right before Shavuos, which is called Perek Kinyan Torah, the perek of how one acquires Torah, that entire perek from the beginning to the end has only one theme, and that is Torah. And he stressed the importance of a person preparing for Shavuos. He pointed out that we have to thank the Neshei Chayil for baking cheesecakes, because he said that Sukkos, people know Sukkos is coming because you build a sukkah, you have to search for Arba Minim, the four different types of vegetation that we take, the Esrog, the Lulav, the Adasim, the Aravis. So people, before Sukkot, everybody's busy with these mitzvahs. Pesach, before Pesach, everybody's busy baking matzahs. The housewives are busy cleaning that there shouldn't be any chametz. Hopefully the husbands are helping them a little bit also. So people are aware that the Yontif is coming. But by Shavuos, he said, if it wouldn't be for the cheesecakes and the different dairy macholim that the women are preparing and the good aromas that emanate from the kitchen, so no one would really know that Chag HaShavuos is coming. And without preparation for the Yontif HaShavuos, we cannot really be kona, we cannot acquire what the Yontif is trying to impart to us. We find in Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, Gedola Torah Yoser Min HaKuna Min HaMalchus, that Torah is greater than what is required for kohuna, for priesthood, and also for what is required to be a king, a Jewish king. Shahamalchus Niknes B'Shloishim Ma'alois, that to become a Jewish king, it requires 30 different high character traits, high attributes. Vahakuhuna and priesthood niknis ba'esrim barbo with 24. Vahatorah niknis barbo mushmoinet dvarim. Torah one can acquire only with 48 different great character traits. So the question that he posed was, why do we need this introduction? Torah is greater more than kohuna and more than Malchus. All we need to do is make a statement. Malchus is 30, Kohuna is 24, and Torah is 48. If I make that statement, anyone with a logical mind will understand that Torah is greater than Kohuna and Malchus. Why did the Mishnah have to give an introduction? I want you to know that Torah is greater. It's obvious. Just enumerate how many malos you need for each one. We could figure it out. So he brought an answer from the Radzina Rebbe, who bases his thought on a Rishon called the Hagois Ashri. And this is a halachic question. A goy sold a bunch of bedil. Bedil is like copper to a Jew. And the Jew needed it to make a roof. His roof was leaking. So he bought this copper in order to put it on top of his roof. So the first Jew, for one reason or another, he decided he's not using the copper to fix his roof, and he sold it to a second Jew. When the second Jew got the copper, he, for some reason, he started scratching on top of the copper. And what did he find? That under the copper, instead of copper, there was silver. And that he, for the price of copper, he had really purchased silver. So the question, so the first Jew heard about this. He went to the Rav and said, I sold this copper to him, let's say, for $500. And really, this, what I sold is silver, it's worth $5,000. He owes me $4,500. So this, then Torah came to the Hagoyes HaShrit, and he Paskin note that the second Jew does not owe the first Jew the difference between the silver and the copper. Why? And his reasoning was as follows. When the first Jew purchased the bedil, what he thought was the copper, from the goy, so he, whenever you purchase something, you have to have a kavana, a thought, to make a kinyan. So what was in his mind? In his mind, I am purchasing copper. He did not have in his mind, I am purchasing silver. So this difference between the value of the silver and the copper was hefker. It was taken from the goy. It was, the goy himself might not even have known that it was silver. Obviously, if he would have known it's silver, he wouldn't have charged him $500. He would have charged him.
Does it work the same way if it's a Jew?
No, if it's a Jew, it would be taking from a Jew. This, but since it's from a goy, so it's hefker. So therefore, the first one who had in mind to acquire it as silver was the second Jew. And at that time, he was acquiring it from hefker. He was acquiring it from something that's considered ownerless, because the first Jew didn't own it at that time. And therefore, he paskined that the second Jew does not have to give it to the first Jew. What do we learn from this? We learn that what a person purchases, it depends on what he thinks it is. Does he think it's copper? Does he think it's silver? So the Radzina Rebbe said, we just said you have to prepare yourself for Shavuos. If you don't prepare yourself, you can't come into the Yontav of Shavuos, okay, I'm ready to eat cheesecake, let's go. You have to prepare yourself. That's why, in fact, there's 49 days of Sfira, and there's 48 different milos that you need to be Kona Torah. And there were many people, they, every day of the Sfira, they work on a different one of those 48. But there's 49 days, so the 49th day is a review of all the other 48. Now, I learned each day one of the milos, and now, on the 49th day, I review. But if you're doing all the 49, the 48 with the review, and in your mind, Torah is only copper, that's what you're going to purchase. You're going to purchase copper. You first have to realize that Torah is silver. It's not only silver, it's gold. It's not only gold, it's worth more than all the silver and gold and precious metals in the world. If you know what Torah is, then when you do the 48 different ways to be Kona Torah, to acquire Torah, you'll acquire it the right way. So that's why the Tana had to say, of course you could figure out Torah is greater than Malchus and Kuna. This is 48, this is 30, this is 24. But the Tana wants to make a Hagdama. Gedola Torah Yosef and Akuna Min HaMalchus. I want you to know that when you're going to use the 48, it's not just, I'm going to use 48. 48 for what? 48 for silver, for gold, not for copper. That's why I want to give you this introduction. The Radziner said that you should appreciate what Torah is really worth. And Rav Schlesinger said, especially this year, it's very important to prepare properly. Every year it is, but this year it's unique, because exactly the way the Torah was given at Har Sinai, that's the way it comes out in the calendar this year. We say that the Torah was given on Shabbos, and on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the Jews came to Midbar Sinai. That was on Sunday, the past Sunday. This year it works out exactly. On the 7th of Sivan, we have the Torah's been given on Shabbos. And this year, Shavuos comes out on Shabbos, and Sunday was just like it was when they left Mitzrayim, and they came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which was Yom Rishon. On Sunday, that's the way it works out this year. So it says that every Yontif, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, every Yontif, the Zman itself, that time of the year, has within it, like so to speak, the energy of what happened in that time thousands of years ago. So if in that time thousands of years ago they came on Rosh Chodesh Midbar Sinai and on Shabbos they received the Torah, we're going through the same motions and the same time, and we have to prepare ourselves to properly accept the Torah. We have in Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech writes in the Eishes Chayil. We know the Eishes Chayil is not only speaking about the virtue, the woman of valor, but it's a marshal for Torah. And in that, in the Eishes Chayil, in Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech says, Rabois bonus asu chayil. Many girls did strength. The at olis al kulana, and you were on top of all. So he brought that the gematria of the word chayil, strength, is 48. Ches, yud, lamed. Ches is 8, yud is 10, lamed is 30. 48. So in other words, here you have that the 30, the lamed, is what the malchus requires. 30 malos. And above that, you have another 18 above the 30 to make the 48. So Rabbis Bonsos Chayil, he explained as follows. That really, especially what we're speaking, we are today on the 48th day of the Sfira. Tonight we count the last night of Sfira. How are we, if we want to acquire Torah at this late stage, how are we going to do it? We didn't do every day one of the kinyanim. We didn't work on one of the kinyanim. What do we do now? Does it mean we have no chance to have any acquisition of Torah? So the Vilner Gaon tells us, Raboy sponus osachoyl. When the Bnei Yisrael came to Har Sinai, it says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael neged Har. The Jews encamped around the mountain. It should say Vayachanu, plural. It says Vayichan, like singular. Keish echad, belev echad. It was one person and one heart. There was Achdus of Klal Yisrael. So each one of us by ourselves, perhaps we can't do it. But if each one of us takes one of the 48 together, Rabois Bonois Asachoyel, together with unity of the Jewish people, one is great in one of the 48, the other is great in the other of the 48. Together, Rabois Bonois Asachoyel. Now what does it mean? Choyel is 48. What does it mean? Va'at. Alisa kulana. So the Vilner Gaon says two pshatim. One pshat is va'at refers to Torah. Rabbi Sponis as a choil. If Klal Yisrael has achdus together, they can do the choil, the 48 together, and then the Torah, the whole Torah, va'at alisa kulana, and you come out on top of all of Klal Yisrael together. We get the whole Torah through everybody working together. That's one pshat. The other pshat, says the Vilner Gaon, is va'at could be referring to one person. In other words, most people, the average Jew, can't do it himself. It's very hard to do all 48. But they have to do collectively together. But va'at, there is a singular great gadol that he himself is able to do all 48. The va'at doesn't refer to the Torah, it refers to that one person. So the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who was the great Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, Reb Chaim Volozhiner said that to me there was no wonder what my Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, achieved in his lifetime. Because I could testify that he had within him all the 48 milos that the Torah requires. I once spoke out the story where the Vilna Gaon was sad. he was like in a depression state, and his Talmidim asked him by the Seder, by Pesach, why, Rebbe, v'samachta b'chagecha, you look so sad. And he finally told him, last night I received 2,260 pshatim on one pasuk in the Torah, and because I thought about them when I woke up before saying Birchas HaTorah, I lost all of them. When we hear two or three or four pshatim on one pasuk, our minds are already swimming. Too much for us to handle. His mind was so great, he was able to handle on one pasuk 2,260 different pshatim. So the Reb Chaim Volozhin, he forgot them because the Vilna Gaon's opinion is that if you think in learning before you say Birchas HaTorah, it's an Avera. The Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch, disagrees. He says only you're not allowed to speak in Torah before Birchas HaTorah. The Vilna Gaon disagrees and says you can't even think, Maharer, you can't even think in Torah before you say Birchas HaTorah. And he was so overwhelmed with 2,260 pshatim that he thought about it before Birchas HaTorah, and that's why he forgot. The point is, we don't have time to go into the greatness of the Vilna Gaon, but the Vilna Gaon was someone unusual. The Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, since I know my Rebbe had all 48 milas of the Torah, it's no wonder to me all the great things that I saw about my Rebbe, because he had the real thing. He was able to acquire Torah because he had all 48 things together. Va'at olis al kolana. There is the one individual who's able to do it by himself. Now it says, Bachodesh Hashlishi Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim Bayoyim Azeh Bo Midbar Sinai. It was on the third month, when the first day of the third month, the Bnei Yisrael left Eretz Mitzrayim. By on that day they came to Midbar Sinai. So Rashi says, Loi Hayatzarich Lichtoiv Ela Bayoyim Hahu Mahu Bayoyim Hazeh. It says, on, it should have said, Bayoyim Ahu, on that day they came to Har Sinai. It doesn't say that day. It says, Bayoyim Azeh, this day they came. What does it mean? So Rashi says from the Chazal, Sheyiyu divrei Torah chadoshim alecha ki'ilu hayoyim nitnu. Torah should be so precious to you every day as if today, hayoyim hazeh, not Hayom Ahu, that day, but Hayom Azeh, this day, as if the Torah was given today. The question Rabbi Schlesinger asks is, wait a second, what day are we talking about here? We're not talking about Shavuos, Matan Torah, on Zion Sivan, Matan Torah. We're talking about Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when they came to Midbar Sinai. So what, this is a good lesson by Yom HaZeh, that every day it should be as if the Torah was given today, right? That's a good lesson if you're talking about Shavuos. But you're not, this pasuk is not talking about Shavuos. This pasuk is talking about Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when they came to Midbar Sinai before Shavuos. This is not a right pasuk to make this lesson. Rav Schlesinger said, yes it is, because as we said before, if you don't prepare, you can't get from the yunt to what you're supposed to. If you're going to wake up on Shavuos and say, oh, okay, today in Tovshin Samach Tes, this year I have to consider as if I'm getting the Torah from Hashem at Sinai. If you're not going to prepare, at least from Rosh Chodesh Sivan, if you're not going to prepare a few days before, every day has to be as if you got the Torah from Sinai, not only on Shavuos. If you start with this idea before Shavuos, then when you come to Shavuos, hopefully you can feel as if that's the day that you're actually getting the Torah from Sinai. Now, he said the following. The tour brings down an interesting thing. We all know that Rosh Chodesh was given as a yontif to women. And we've spoken about in the Shiurim that women are also to do certain malachas on Rosh Chodesh, and we know that the reason is they didn't give to the Egel their jewelry, they gave only to the Mishkan with great love and affection to donate it to the Mishkan. The Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer says that that's what the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer says. But the tour says, I heard from my brother Rav Yehuda that the reason Rosh Chodesh was given to women is because the Yom Tovim were sakin keneged the Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Pesach is connected Avram. Shavuos is connected Yitzchak. And Sukkot is connected Yaakov. What does Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov have to do with Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot? So, says the Tur's brother, by Pesach it says that when the Malachim came, Sarah was busy kneading dough. It says that she was making ugois. And what was it? It was ugois matzois, like we find by Metzias Mitzrayim. Ugois matzois kiloi chametz. The Jews took out cakes of matzah because it didn't become chametz. So we know that when the Malachim came to Sarah, it was Pesach. And she was they were making matzahs. And they told her that next year at this time, you're going to have a son, Yitzchak. So, Pesach, Avram, connected. What does Shavuos have to do with Yitzchak? So, the Tur's brother says, because by the Akedah, instead of bringing Yitzchak as a korban, they found a ram, which was, whose horns were in the grass, stuck in the grass, and they took that ayil and they brought it instead as a korban on the Mizbeach. And what happened with the left horn? That was used at Har Sinai. And what happened with the right horn? That's going to be Vahoya Bayoy Mahu Yitaka B'Shoifer Gadol. The great horn, the right horn, that's going to be used by Mashiach. So the Shoifer of the aisle was used at Matan Torah. So there you have a connection between Yitzchak and Shavuos. We'll come back to this in a moment. What does Sukkot have to do with Yaakov? The pasuk says the right one is going to be the Shofar Gadol, going to be used by Mashiach. And what do you do, what's the connection between Yaakov and Sukkot? It says Ule Mekneu Asa Sukkot, that Yaakov made for his cattle different huts. And then it also says VeYaakov Nasa Sukkot. So Yaakov went to a city called Sukkot. So that's the Moyadim are Keneged Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. The Rosh Chodesh, 12 months, are Keneged the Yud Beis Shvatim.
Yaakov
Nasa Sukkot. He went to Sukkot. He traveled to Sukkot. The Yud Beis Rosh Chodesh are Keneged the 12 Shvatim. And when the 12 Shvatim sinned with the Egel, so Hashem took the Rosh Chodesh from them, and he gave it to their wives, because they had nothing to do with the Chet of the Egel. So Rav Schlesinger asked, Avram and Pesach, perfect, happened on Pesach. Sukkot, Yaakov went to Sukkot, very good. But let's analyze Yitzchak and Shavuos. That doesn't sound to be the same like Avram and Yaakov. Since there Yitzchak was brought on the Akedah, And Hashem didn't let Yitzchak be killed. Instead, he took an ayil. What happened with the ayil? The left horn was at the it was blown at Har Sinai. There's a connection Yitzchak and Shavuos. It's not the same as Avram and Yaakov. Avram, the Malachim came on Pesach. The matzahs were made on Pesach. Yaakov used the Sukkot for his cattle. He came to the city of Sukkot. There was something in the life of Avram with Pesach, something in the life of Yaakov with Sukkot. But Yitzchak, there's nothing a couple of hundred years later, Matan Torah. So the ayil that was used instead of Yitzchak, that was used. It doesn't seem to be the same as Avram. It's a remez, it's a hint to it, but it doesn't seem to be exactly the same. We don't see the direct connection between Yitzchak and Shavuos.
But it was that same shofar.
Yeah, but
who had it the whole time?
Okay, one second. Now let's go a step further. It's clear that Avram and Yaakov's relationship to Pesach and Sukkot are a much stronger direct connection than the connection between Yitzchak and Shavuos. But even if we're going to say, it was used by Matan Torah, but let's analyze
it. What was Yaakov? He just came to a place.
Yeah, good, but good. There was, and he made, whatever, there's deeper understanding what it means he came to Sukkot. But it says clearly he came to play Sukkot. So there is a clear connection between Yaakov and Sukkot. Yitzchak and Shavuos, the connection is not so clear. But let's analyze it even further. that where was this shofar used? So Rashi says further, the Jews were not allowed to go up on the mountain. Their cattle was not allowed to go by Har Sinai up on the mountain. When could they go up the mountain? When you hear the yovel, and Rashi says the word yovel means isle. When you hear that horn that came from the isle of Yitzchak, and you hear it blowing, and it's keeping on blowing and blowing, then you know that's a signal, a siren, that now they can go up to the mountain. So it comes out the shofar wasn't even used at Har Sinai in the time of Matan Torah. This shofar of isle was the sound that now you can go up to the mountain. And the Ibn Ezra is not so sure that it's the exact shofar that we find during Matan Torah, where we're going to see the pasuk where it says that when the people vayechrat kol ha'am asher b'machane, when they heard the shofar during Matan Torah, the Ibn Ezra says, I don't know if it's the same one. So here, the brother of the tour made a whole connection between Matan Torah, Shavuos itself, and Yitzchak. The shofar that was used for the isle is not of Yitzchak. We're not so sure that that's the same one that's used during Matan Torah. The Ramban asks a further question: how did they use the Karen of Yitzchak? Yitzchak was an oila. An oila means that the whole korban is supposed to be sacrificed. Right? So, instead of Yitzchak, we use the oil. Oh, you use the oil, you have to burn the horns also. So the horns got burnt also. So the Ramban says that in Einachanami, the horns got burnt, but what happened was, they became ashes, and Hashem resurrected the ashes, and he made it back through a nest. He made it back into a horn, and this was the horn of the isle of Yitzchak. The Mizrahi says, I don't understand the Ramban's question. The din is that, let's say, while the animal was alive, the horn got pulled off, and here it could very well be, because the pasuk says that the isle was stuck with its horns in the grass, so maybe when they took the isle, the horn got ripped off. That's the horn that they used. The Ramban says a miracle happened, that it went into ashes and it was reconstructed by Hashem and made back. Maybe it never got... the din is by an ola, a korban ola, when you have to sacrifice the whole animal, but if the horn got taken off before it was brought as a korban, you don't have to. The Maral says, I don't understand the Mizrahi, because if it was in fact ripped off before it was used as a korban, then it's not a substitute for the akedah. The substitute for the akedah was the animal, the isle that was brought as a korban. That was sacrificed. This horn wasn't part of the animal. It had been ripped off. So what are you calling it? It's the horn of the isle that was used in the akedah. Elamai, he likes better the pshat of the Ramban, that it became ashes, it was reconstructed. But then the Ramban says, the Rav Schlesinger, what he's trying to point out, if you just take it at the simple value that the Yitzchak has to do with Shavuos, it's very tenuous. It's roundabout, it's not direct, we don't even know it's the same one that was used at Matan Torah, was it ashes, did it come back whole? Then he says, the Ramban says, he opens the door to us to understand this connection between Yitzchak and Shavuos. And the Ramban says, there's a sod here, a secret. Usually when the Ramban used the word sod, he's referring to Kabbalah. But we're not going to get into the real depths, but at least let's try to walk through the door. So the Ramban says that, you know what the shofar represents? The shofar represents fear. The pasuk says, Hayitaka shofar ba'ir, the pasuk in Amos. Hayitaka shofar ba'ir va'am lo yechradu. If we hear a siren outside, so if it's in Muncie where I live, so Vishnitz puts on a siren by Hadlokas Neiris before a half hour before Shabbos, Hadlokas. So you know that siren means that the Shabbos is coming. But if you hear a siren Monday, 12 o'clock, you get nervous. Okay, maybe it's the fire department making a siren. Who knows? Maybe it's Chas v'Shalom, some big emergency. Hayitaka shayfer beir v'amalei chorev. If the shayfer usually was a signal that the enemy is coming to attack, people became frightened. Where do we find charada? We find it by Har Sinai. It says when the shayfer blew, vayechre kolam asher b'machane. The whole nation, when they heard the shayfer during Kabbalah Satira, they became petrified. And we also hear it by Yitzchak. Yitzchak is known as Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Huttner Sefer is called Pachad Yitzchak, the fear of Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is the one where we find when he gave the brachas to Yaakov instead of Esav, Vayechrad Yitzchak Charoda Gedoyla Admoi. It says that Gehenim opened up in front of him, and he thought he gave the brachas to the wrong one. Here, the Ramban said, this is the secret. This is the connection between Yitzchak and Shavuos, Charoda. So now we got the connection. We have to, of course, understand the depths of the connection. Rav Schlesinger pointed out that if you look in the Machzor of Rosh Hashanah, there are 10 psukim that you have to say about Shofar. You have to say Malchius, Zichroinus, and Shofros. If you look at the 10 psukim, almost all of them have to do with Maimed Har Sinai, with the Shofar on Har Sinai. Now, are we talking about Rosh Hashanah here, or are we talking about Shavuos? We're doing Rosh Hashanah, and yet the psukim speak a lot about the shofar by Maimon Har Sinai. So the answer, what he wanted to say is that we see from there that shofar and Torah go together. There's a link. Shofar and Torah go together. Now we have to develop that link. He brought a very interesting thing. The Meshach Chochma, Parshas Chukas, by the Chet of the Mei Meriva. Moshe was supposed to speak to the rock. Instead of speaking, he hit the rock. So the Meshach Chochma says, I think, Zed Derech Korv L'Pshat L'Fi Anias Daiti. I think this is the Pshat of what happened. There was a phenomena by Maimed Har Sinai of Ha'am Royim Es HaKoylois, Royim Es HaNishma, that when Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Olikecha, and this is all just to give us, we said the Torah in the beginning of the Shir, we said is not copper, it's silver, it's gold. What we're speaking now is that we get a somewhat of an understanding, a little bit, a fraction, of the awesomeness of Torah. And then we can prepare ourselves properly for the Yontif of Shavuos if we realize how awesome Torah is. So the Meshech Chochma says that by Maimon Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael didn't just hear Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, they saw. It says that a Malach came and took every dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those words which normally your ear hears, your eye saw the words. And we'll soon see the significance of this. What's the understanding? What's so significant about the fact that they saw the words of Hashem? So the Malach was Moitzias a Dibur b'lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called Dibur v'Dibur u'machziri akolecha v'echem Yisrael. The Malach would take Hashem's word Anoichi and bring it to each Jew. Kach tikdukim, kach oinshim, kach hazoris. Hashem wanted that. Hashem at the Mei Meriva, Hashem wanted that was right before they did a bris in Arvas Moyav, where, like, so to speak, the Torah was, they made a covenant with Hashem to keep the Torah. So the way the Meshech Chacham explains it is Hashem wanted to reenact Maimon Har Sinai again, just as by Maimon Har Sinai you saw the words of Hashem, you didn't just hear it. So what did Hashem say to Moshe? It's beautiful. V'dibartem al haselah, speak to the rock, le'eneyem, to their eyes. What do you mean le'eneyem? Speak to the rock, la'azneyem, to their ears. No. The answer is, this is the Chassam Sofer says the same thing, there is supposed to be a new Matan Torah. And by Matan Torah, you're supposed to see the word of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock. It says that Hashem's voice came out from the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem wanted that they should, just like at Har Sinai, they saw the sound, the same thing should take place at Mei Meriva. But Moshe got angry at Klal Yisrael, it says, and what does it say? It says, Shimuno Hamoirim. You rebellers, listen. He shouldn't have said Shimu, he should have said Re'u. You should see. So what's the idea over here? So he's the idea of this Shimuno Hamoirim. You rebellers, see. That's what he should have said. He said Shimu. Listen, he missed the opportunity. And the Chassam Sofer says the next time this is going to happen is when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, we're going to again see what usually you hear. Now, what's the idea of seeing what you hear? What's this whole idea? This was the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea is that, what is the word Vayechrad? Vayechrad kol Am Hashem Machana. Hayitaka shofar b'ir v'am lo yechradu. What is, and we saw that shofar is synonymous with Torah and is synonymous with charada. So the sefer, Ksava Kabbalah, and he has a sefer on tefillah called Iyun Tefillah, says, charada doesn't mean what we think, that you're afraid. Because he asks a very logical question. What would be the purpose of making the Jews all petrified by Maamad Har Sinai? Hashem wants to teach them the Aseret HaDibros. He wants to teach them the Torah. If a person is afraid, his mind can't think. He's so petrified. Charada does not mean you're petrified that your mind can't think. Charada means you're overwhelmed by the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shofar, the purpose of the shofar, and the thunder, and the lightning, and the whole Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, that was that, the only mashal that I can think of is when people who saw, just to give us an idea, when the plane crashed into the World Trade Center, if a person saw that, or I didn't see it, but I saw, I was walking down Broadway, and I saw a building, and the policeman told me, go back, and I ran away, and when I turned around a block later, the same building that I had just seen wasn't there anymore. I didn't hear it go down, I didn't see it go down, it wasn't there anymore. And Kal v'chomer, a person who saw the World Trade Center, the plane going into the building, at that moment, you're so overwhelmed that all your hergeshim don't work. Your hergeshim don't work. The Medrash says, we say it in the Machzor. Gam kol ha'olam kulei chol mipanecha. The whole world was petrified. Ubriyos bereishis chordu mimecha. And the creations from the beginning of time were petrified. Says the Medrash, when Hashem gave the Torah, a bird didn't chirp. A bird didn't fly. A shore didn't make a ge'iyah sound. The Ifanim Layafu, Srafim Layamru Kadosh Kadosh. The Malachim in heavens didn't say Kadosh Kadosh. The waves of the ocean were silent. The ocean didn't have any waves. Habrius Laydibru, nobody spoke. Elohoilam Shasak Umachrish Vyotza Hakoil Anoichi Hashem Lakecha. Not because Hashem couldn't speak so loud that the world wouldn't be able to hear. Hashem could make a sound that the whole world would hear. But the world was so overwhelmed with the majesty of the Maamad Har Sinai that their regular hergeshim, their feelings, their instincts just dried up. And that's what charada means. It doesn't mean that your mind can't function at that time, but it means you're overwhelmed from what you're seeing. So we don't have time. I'll answer it afterwards. The Roya Misakoilis was that Anoich Hashem Alekecha, the Dibur of Hashem is so powerful, it's so overwhelming, that they actually visualized it. They saw the Dibur of Hashem. It was that is the same as the feelings that they had that all regular normal human feelings or what birds or animals usually do stop. The world, there was the thunder and the lightning, but then there was such a quiet that the quiet was overpowering how quiet the world became. The waves didn't move. So at that moment, the Dibur of Hashem came from sound to seeing it, meaning that Hashem's word has a power over the whole Bria. Moshe was supposed to show that. The Selah was supposed to give water. Re'u, Hashem said, Leinayim, do it in front of their eyes. Moshe didn't do it. Moshe said, Shimu no amoyrim. That was the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when we want to think about what was the connection, the direct connection between Yitzchak and the Shofar and Matan Torah? It's through the Shofar. How you talk a Shofar b'ir, va'am lo yechradu, and where do we find the word charada before Matan Torah? Only by Yitzchak Avinu. And that's what we say in Musaf on Shabbos. We say, v'hu yashmi'enu sheinis la'enei kol chai. When the Yitzchak of a Shofar go, when Mashiach will come, then a second time, we didn't do it by Shimon HaMoirim, by the Meimor Riva, but when Mashiach comes, then we will hear Hashem la'enei kol chai. It should say la'oznei kol chai. No, la'enei kol chai, because then it will be royim es hanishma, just like it was at Maimon Har Sinai. So this gives us a little of appreciation, hopefully, what the Torah, the silver, the gold of the Torah is, so that we can properly prepare for the Chag HaShavuos HaBo Aleinu L'Tovah.